Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Phil Rogers, great baseball man, kind enough to sit in. Phil has a book out with Bud Selig. The book is called For the Good of the Game. And the reviews are pretty good, Phil. You managed to catch Bud Selig, get a lot of good points. You pulled a lot out of him. You're talking about a guy. The book is being praised for its candor and for, you know, sort of Bud dealing with some of the resentments that he may have left over from some of the things that went on. I think that one of them today is the All-Star Game, and we remember that the All-Star Game was in Milwaukee, and they pulled the plug on that game and ran out of players, and there was a great backlash to that. And the next thing you know, and including from the television network, and the next thing you know, all of a sudden, the All-Star Game counts as to who gets home field in the World Series. And that it was almost like you had a bad thing happen, and you followed it with a worse idea. I don't know. How did you deal with that in writing the book, and how did he deal with it when he looks back upon it?
Well, Molly, let's be upfront about this. Bud's like me with some of your callers. He's just not that popular. he's an easy target. He's a guy you can knock for everything. But so much of what he did made sense to me, which was why I was interested, excited when I got pitched on the opportunity of helping him with this book. And, you know, you can kind of go issue by issue, but let's take the All-Star Game. You know, to me, awarding home field to the winning team in the All-Star Game made sense for two reasons. One, the game had turned into a complete joke. I'm pretty sure in that 2002 tie in Milwaukee, Sammy Sosa was home at Navy Pier when the last out was finally made, and the tie was declared, and Bud turned his hands up. Famously there. And the second is that before that, you were just awarding it on an every other year basis. The Minnesota Twins won the World Series in 87 and 91. Those were years the American League had the home field. If it had been the opposite, I'm not sure they would have won either time because the Metrodome was such an advantage. And so to me, to have something dependent on was better to me than just doing every other year. And always they said you can't seed it like the NFL does because of the logistics of getting that many rooms for that long.
Right.
You don't know where the World Series is going to be played, unlike the Super Bowl. But now they seem to have survived that, you know, and they maybe one year it'll blow up on them if they get some rained out game sevens in the championship series or other things. But, you know, that's one thing the Manfred regime has done better than Bud's is they figured out how to do that seeding thing. So if you have a great regular season, you can have home field. On the All-Star game, though, another thing, you know, it had really, you know, you referenced early on the All-Star game as a kid, loving it when Pete Rose was barreling into Ray Fosse.
Yeah.
And, you know, all those years the National League won and there was a real rivalry between the leagues. It was really special, and a lot of those guys were upset. The old timers were upset with what had happened as you know the game developed, and it became the home run derby became more of the event than the game itself.
Right.
And Ron Santo is a guy that Bud talks about, who would tell him all the time, "You got to do something to make the All-Star game better. It was the highlight of our year, and these guys are treating it without respect." And in Bud's office, he has an X-ray. His office is awesome up there in Milwaukee. It's a little bit of a baseball shrine. And one thing he has, which was he was gifted by Ted Williams, who he became close to late in Ted Williams' life, He has the x-ray of Ted Williams' elbow from the 1970 game, I believe. Or no, not 70, 1950 game, where Ted Williams was hit in the elbow, first time to bat, stayed in the game the whole time, finished the game, and then after the game he was found to have a fractured elbow.
Oh, my God.
That's a little bit of a different era. But yeah. It wasn't quite all the way back to there, but it was Ron Santo and some others of that ilk that really got into Bud's ear and said, you know, can you do something to make it better? And yes, Fox TV, who had the contract, didn't mind when you know, it is. I don't know how much of a you know, players get money now on the winning team. There's more motivation, but I don't know that it's exactly a winner else attitude. I know it isn't, but it definitely became more of a serious thing after 2002.
What when you think of his tenure and you talk to him, what was he most proud of, and what did he see most offensive about? A lot of people, you know, the steroid era and everything that happened, and all the way that I remember I was on the Sports Writers on TV 100 years ago, right? And it was the last season of the Sports Writers on TV, and the question was about, I think somebody was found with androstenedione dion. It might have been Mark McGuire had it in his locker, which is a, you know, basically it's a, it was, you could buy it at a place. It was banned in the NFL at the time, I remember, and maybe it was a masking agent, maybe it was the actual stuff that was helping him. There's all sorts of different issues with people, but the explanation that you got from old timers talking about what ended up being the juiced era was this idea that round ball, round bat, hardest thing to do in the world. Steroids, even if you took them, wouldn't help. That was that initially was how people were responding to the steroid era. And that was held on to by people probably far too long. And then all of a sudden, everybody realizes, oh, wait, that shortstop just hit 30 homers. There's something wrong here.
Yeah, we talk about steroids a lot in the book. I'm proud for Bud's sake that he didn't run from it when I presented it to him. And it's actually Chapter 1, Paragraph 1 of the book is Barry Bonds and steroids. And,
right, chasing
those. And his tie, yep. Bud's tie to steroids. He's proudest, I think, of the labor piece in the game. And, you know, when he came into the game, the players' union ran things, and the economic pendulum had swung so far to their side. Owners were not united. You know, they were the perfect target in labor negotiations. One day I'm talking to Bud in his office in Milwaukee, and he looks up over his desk. We were talking about Bowie Kuhn, Peter Uberoth, Faye Vincent, and he looks up and he just looks across at me. He goes, I inherited a bleeping night. And that was like the truest thing he ever said, because that was, I covered baseball labor in that era, and that was my impression too. Was you would not want to be the commissioner of baseball trying to bring all those guys together. And he did bring them together. And as horrible as the 94-95 strike was, there hasn't been one since then. There, you know, the next labor negotiation really set the tone for labor peace that has really helped the sport prosper. That's what he's proudest of. You're right about the steroids that... And I kind of, you know, Bud will still say, and I've heard him say promoting the book, you know, were we slow to react? No, it was an issue of collective bargaining and the union wouldn't budge. He's right about that. But you're also right to say that MLB was slow to recognize how steroids helped hitters and how PEDs were impacting the game. And they did a lot of studies. They studied the ball. They studied the bats. They studied a lot of stuff. And you know, when Selig would talk to people, you know, he knows a lot of players. He would talk to the players. He would talk to owners. He'd talk to general managers. Nobody really said this is a huge problem. And there was a lot of that, you know, Rafael Palmeiro didn't become a great hitter because of anything he took. He was just a great hitter. And, you know, it doesn't make a crumb bum a great hitter just because you take a drug. And so they were really slow to get their hands around how it helps in training, you know, how it helps in recovery, you know, and the impacts those have over the 6-month baseball season. They were they were slow to react to that. And, you know, I think it was just because they thought PEDs are strength and speed. And, you know, maybe it helps Ben Johnson run fast, but, you know, just running fast
doesn't help you as much in baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.